But it is wonderful to be here. Let me just tell you that my views are quite simple on the next phase of the war against terrorism. I believe that we should go into Iraq as quickly as possible to remove the regime there, not to invade the country, not to take over the country, not to do anything but liberate the country. And I make 3 points and then open it up to questions. Number one is it's absolutely necessary to do this. Point number two is it is not difficult to do this. Point number three is it will change the whole landscape of the Middle East if we do that. Okay? Point number one, that it's absolutely necessary to do. Saddam Hussein constitutes the greatest threat to American security of any leader in the world. And why do I say that? Because unlike Osama bin Laden and the others, he has a government underneath him. Having a government underneath him means he has billions of dollars of receipts every year. He has a full army. He has 35, 40 research labs that are working full-time on weapons of mass destruction. He has 80 embassies around the world where people can go and buy illegal contraband issues from the embassy itself with embassy protection. And the diplomatic pouch, through the diplomatic pouch, he can send the equipment back to Iraq that's totally illegal. He has a whole apparatus there. And therefore, he constitutes a totally different kind of threat than Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda do. Now, he is developing nuclear and chemical and biological weapons, that we know. What would he do? Would he attack the United States with those weapons? Not directly. He would hand them off to a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda to attack us. And would those terrorist groups take the weapons? Of course they would. They would love it. So the combination of Saddam Hussein developing the weapons and then handing them off to a terrorist group is the most deadly combination you could possibly conceive of. And I think an attack with weapons of mass destruction against the United States would make September 11th pale in comparison. And just as I think that over the coming years, historians will look back at the Clinton administration and say one of the big mistakes of the Clinton administration, of which there were many, but one of the biggest mistakes of the Clinton administration was that 3 times, according to the London Times, Osama bin Laden was offered up to the Clinton White House, and 3 times they did not want to either apprehend him, take him, try him, or take him out of commission in some way. Now, that seemed like a small decision at the time. It was an enormous decision because of what it led to. I don't want myself to be in a position where President Bush looks back and says, we could have taken out Saddam Hussein, and yet there was an attack of nuclear chemical attack against the United States, and we look back and regret later on that we didn't do that. Point number two, I don't think it's difficult to take out Saddam Hussein. Why do I say that? Because we had the Gulf War. It was a cakewalk before in the Gulf War. The United States lost 160 soldiers, everyone a tragedy, but most of them because of intercepted Scud missiles, some of them because of friendly fire. We lost something like 1.5 or 2% of what the Iraqis lost. I remember that the Iraqi armed forces were surrendering in the thousands to Italian film crews. So they didn't want to fight anymore for Saddam Hussein than anybody else supported him. I think if we started a war against Iraq, the people would get up on the apartment roofs and cheer the United States for liberating them. Just like we saw in Afghanistan after the Taliban fell, people were dancing in the street in joy for not having to live under that kind of regime anymore. So I don't think it would be difficult. I can go into details with you on that. The third point. What would it do? Well, it would remove the biggest threat to the United States from any place around the world. And with a change in regime in Iraq, and then I believe possibly a change in regime because of a revolution in Iran, you could have a whole different view towards Israel and towards the Israeli-Palestinian problem. So much of what is happening in the Israeli-Palestinian problem is because of the Arab threat en masse and hostility and hatred towards Israel that is spewed out by the Iraqis, spewed out by the Iranians, spewed out by the Saudis, spewed out by supposedly our friends, the Egyptians. And I think with a change in regime in Iraq, more pro-West, more open, more for diversity, more for tolerance, that you could have a situation where that kind of hatred and the kind of belief that Israel is an alien state in the Middle East that should be expelled, I think that would end. And so I really believe that the first step towards protecting American security is to get rid of Saddam Hussein, and it would be absolutely essential to change the whole chemistry and the whole viewpoints of the Middle East by doing that. So those are my thesis. That's a information blast to you, and an opinion blast, and we can go anywhere with the questions, and I've always found it most interesting to take the questions, so let's do that.
Okay, I'll try to manage them for you. I have my own, but I'm not going to ask them because there are other people here that really do. But actually, I just thought about something. I'm going to ask a question that my colleague, Professor Robin Doss, asked me in the fall about this. This whole idea of going around saying, why don't we take out Saddam Hussein? We are giving him time to plan his own death. And Robin has said, you know, maybe he's going to try to go down in a blaze of glory, which may mean trying to attack Israel in some horrific way. What are your ideas about how to manage that very real possibility?
Well, you have to do it fast and massively. You have to make sure that you go after the main instruments he has on intelligence, military headquarters, where you would suspect he would have weapons of mass destruction, although we don't know that. But you would also make a public pronouncement that anybody in the Iraqi government at all who handled weapons of mass destruction, who handled them to put them on Scud missiles, who handled them to put them on the aircraft, who did anything at all with weapons of mass destruction after the war, which we would win, would end up in Guantanamo Bay or worse. And then everybody has an individual, having that word get out, each soldier would have an individual decision whether they wanted to sacrifice their life or really endanger their whole future by loading up weapons of mass destruction on behalf of Saddam Hussein, who very clearly was going to be on his way out. And I think myself, you'd find massive defections and massive resistance to this guy. What holds a totalitarian government together is quite simply fear. Fear and intelligence networks, of which there are four in Iraq, and torture. That's what holds it together. That's what held Stalin's regime together. That's how Hitler's regime. No, there's a pattern to all these. They're the same. Once you remove that fear, things fall apart.
Okay, Robin, did you have a two-finger that you want to, okay, and then I'm going to go around.
What you're doing, however, is juxtaposing a fear of what's going to happen to you after the war is over with a fear that the person next to you is going to kill you if you don't do it. And I don't know much evidence that people are going to be more fearful of long-term consequences than short-term consequences. Because your announcement is simply going to be nothing about if I'm the Iraqi soldier, my fear that I'm going to be shot by the guard. And I'm concerned that there's this sort of naive idea. Well, you know, it was a cakewalk in the Gulf War, but they had attacked Kuwait, right? And this is a little different.
Sure.